This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of flexor pulley system from the hand section on orthobullets.com. The flexor pulley system in the fingers is made up of the annular ligaments and the cruciate pulleys. With respect to annular ligaments, A2 and A4 are critical to prevent bowstringing and are the most biomechanically important. A1, A3, and A5 overlie the MP, PIP, and DIP joints respectively and originate from the palmar plate. And keep in mind that the A1 pulley is the most commonly involved in trigger finger. As far as cruciate pulleys, the function is to prevent sheath collapse and expansion during digital motion. The cruciate pulleys facilitates approximation of annular pulleys during flexion, and there are three total at the level of the joints. The flexor pulley system in the thumb contains the oblique pulley, which is 3 to 5 millimeters, and the annular pulleys. The oblique pulley, which is again 3 to 5 millimeters, originates at the proximal half of the proximal phalanx and is the most important pulley in the thumb. The oblique pulley functions like cruciate pulleys in the fingers. In the fingers, you have an A1, A2, C1, and an A3 pulley, while in the thumb, you have an A1, AV, oblique, and A2 pulley. The oblique pulley facilitates full excursion of the FPL and also prevents bowstringing of the FPL. Bowstringing will occur if both the A1 and oblique pulleys are cut. Moving on to annular pulleys, the A1 pulley is 4 to 8 millimeters, and it is found at the level of the volar plate at the MCP joint. It is approximately 6 millimeters in length, and the radial digital nerve is closest at 2.7 millimeters. The ulnar digital nerve is less close at 5.4 millimeters, and bowstringing will occur if both the A1 and oblique pulleys are cut. The AV pulley, or the annular variable pulley, is 4 to 8 millimeters and is between the A1 and oblique pulleys. It was previously thought to be part of the oblique pulley. The function of the AV pulley is to help prevent bowstringing. There are three types of AV pulley. Type 1 is transverse, parallel to A1, with a gap between the AV and A1. Type 2 has no gap between AV and A1, and type 3 is a triangular / oblique AV pulley with fibers converging to the radial side. The A2 pulley is 5 to 10 millimeters and contributes least to the arc of motion of the thumb. If A2 is intact, cutting the A1 or oblique pulley will not result in bowstringing. Now let's talk about pulley reconstruction. The goals of pulley reconstruction is to preserve or reconstruct three or more pulleys. A2 is important. However, it's unclear if A4 reconstruction is absolutely necessary, as it can be sacrificed during acute flexor tendon surgery. As far as graft material, the extensor retinaculum is a synovialized pulley surface that provides the least gliding resistance. Other graft material includes excised tendon material, palmaris or plantaris, the flexor digitorum superficialis, and flexor tendon allograft. As far as the techniques for pulley reconstruction, first you will excise all scar dorsal to the flexor tendon. The two major techniques of pulley reconstruction include around the bone or an encircling technique and a non-encircling reconstruction. Examples of the around the bone or encircling technique include a single loop or a bunnel procedure, or a triple loop, or the Akutsu procedure, which is biomechanically the strongest construct. As far as complications of the around-the-bone or encircling technique, the most worrisome is a phalangeal fracture. Other complications include stiffness and persistent bowstringing, secondary to inadequate tension, or failure to remove scar tissue dorsal to the tendon, where the tendon is not pressed against bone. Examples of a non-encircling reconstruction include the ever-present rim or the Kleiner procedure, the belt loop or the Karov procedure, extensor retinaculum or the Lister procedure, and the palmaris longus transplantation through the volar plate, otherwise known as the Doyle and Blythe procedure. As far as location-specific pulley reconstructions, proximal phalanx for an A2 pulley reconstruction uses three loops, which is an around-the-bone or encircling technique that has the strongest reconstruction. Keep in mind that for proximal phalanx for A2 pulley reconstructions, you will pass deep to the extensor mechanism. A middle phalanx for an A4 pulley reconstruction uses two loops, which is around the bone, and you will pass superficial to the extensors in a middle phalanx pulley reconstruction compared to passing deep to the extensor mechanism in a proximal phalanx reconstruction. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, normal thumb flexor tendon kinematics are restored by repairing which of the following pulleys when the A2 is intact? And the choices are 1, AV2, 2, AV1, 3, oblique or A1, 4, A3, and 5, palmar aponeurotic. The correct answer to this question is 3, oblique or A1. So when the A2 pulley remains intact, dividing either the A1 or the oblique pulley will not alter thumb mechanical efficiency or joint angular displacement. If both the oblique pulley and A1 pulley are cut, significant bowstringing will occur. Studies showed that repair or reconstruction of either the oblique pulley or the A1 pulley after injury will restore thumb kinematics as long as the A2 pulley is intact. Moving on to the next question. What are the two most important pulleys to preserve / reconstruct during flexor tendon surgery? And the choices are 1, A1 and A2, 2, A2 and C3, 3, A2 and A3, 4, A2 and A4, and 5, A3 and C4. The correct answer to this question is 4, A2 and A4. So if the flexor tendon sheath is non-functional or a surgical approach to the flexor tendons is being performed, the minimum preservation / reconstruction should include the A2 and A4 pulleys. Ideally, the surgeon should reconstruct a pulley both proximal and distal to each joint to minimize bowstringing and maximize excursion. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following describes the correct proximal to distal progression of the annular and cruciform pulleys of the digits? And the choices are 1, A1, C1, A2, C2, A3, A4, and C3, 2, A1, A2, A3, C1, C2, C3, and A4, 3, A1, C1, C2, A2, A3, A4, and C3, 4, A1, A2, C1, A3, C2, A4, and C3, and 5, A1, A2, A3, A4, C1, C2, and C3. The correct answer to this question is 4, A1, A2, C1, A3, C2, A4, and C3. So again, the correct progression of the annular and cruciform pulley in the digits is A1, A2, C1, A3, C2, A4, and C3. The two cruciform pulleys are collapsible elements adjacent to the more rigid annular pulleys of the flexor tendon sheath. This arrangement enables unrestricted flexion of the proximal interphalangeal joint. And moving on to the final question, which of the following flexor tendon annular pulleys originate from the palmar plates overlying the joints? And the choices are 1, A1, A3, and A5, 2, A2, and A4, 3, A1, A2, and A4, 4, A1, A2, and A3, and 5, A2, A4, and A5. The correct answer to this question is 1, A1, A3, and A5. So the pulley system governs the moment arm, excursion, and joint rotation produced by the flexor tendons. The A2 and A4 pulleys are the most biomechanically important to these functions. A2 and A4 arise from the periosteum of the proximal half of the proximal phalanx and the mid portion of the middle phalanx, respectively. A1, A3, and A5 are joint pulleys arising from the palmar plates of MP, PIP, and DIP joints, respectively. C1, C2, and C3 are thin, condensable, cruciate sections of the flexor sheath, which permit the annular pulleys to approximate each other during flexion. That's all for this review about the flexor pulley system. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.